Oh, all the best instructions, and they still get it wrong. Excuse me. Isn't it annoying? Just a week before you get to do a talk, you end up with a tickly cough. So it's polos and water keep me going. Anyway, what I've got to show you today is all about math. But prior to that, I thought, I was asked if I would preach. Now, some of you might know I'm not much of a preacher. I can do a talk which I feel is encouraging and get people looking in the right direction, but absolute teaching, I leave it to the experts. And funny, you know, it's weird how these things happen. This morning, my reading for the morning was Romans 12. If you're a preacher, preach. If you're an encourager, encourage. I'm an encourager. That man's a preacher. And I feel that God was sort of, if you like, left me free for the fact I dipped out of doing the sermon. But two of our speakers were chatting the other day on a stand we were holding. And we got talking about what we can talk about when we go to do meetings. And he said, have you ever looked at Matthew 12, particularly about the calling of Matthew? And we went, no, I haven't. And when you look at it, Jesus walks by, follow me. The guy gets up and follows. He doesn't find, can you look after my stand? He doesn't hide his money away. He doesn't move the books. He doesn't move anything. He gets up, follows, leaves it all behind him. Now, if you think what's happening at the minute, we're being charged heavy money for our utilities and everything, and the shareholders, thank you very much, the more you pay, the more our share is. And same back in the 80s when we had a recession, I remember so many people, I was living in Cornwall at the time, so many people lost their houses. But the banks, no, they kept the interest rate as high as they could, and they were milking it. That's a bit like Matthew. He was like that. He was taking the taxes, he was taking his bit off the top. He had made himself a really nice sort of pension pot. He had luxury, he had everything he needed. He got up, walked away, and started a new life because Jesus called him. Now, I had a touch of that way back when I was in my 20s. It was a slightly different because I was bored with my job. And I spoke to the vicar. Know any jobs going in Africa? He said, yes, I do. Right, that did it. I told him, right, okay, I'm finished the job. He went. He came in to buy something in our shop. 2 years later, I see him again. That job's still going. Yes, he said, phone this lady. Right. And I'm a really green Christian at that point. I've always believed in Jesus, always knew he was there, but I'd never felt a call before. But when I spoke to that lady, she said, I've been waiting for you to call. And the you, boom, it hit me. And from that moment, I could not stop. I had to go and work in Uganda. My father said, do you know where Uganda is? I said, nope. I said, it's in Africa. He said, do you know where it is in Africa? Nope. Do you know what's going on there at the minute? Nope. He said, there's guns, there's shooting, there's all sorts of things going on. Couldn't care less, God wants me there. And the mission I applied for didn't want me, but God cleared the way. And we went. And I listened to that one about Matthew, I thought, yeah, I know what Matthew went through. I didn't do the same as him at all, because I came home and picked up where I left off. And that's where it all went wrong again. But it just sort of hit me so much that guy had so much to live for in his old world. But stuff that, Jesus is calling. And I think this is what applies to so many of the, all of the guys who work for MAF. We have hundreds and hundreds of people working for us now. Pilots, engineers, technology people, all the techies we can imagine, and various, so many other different things to support the flight of the aircraft. But the idea is that God calls, and if he says go, now, I'm sorry, folk, but you sang a song this morning which said, you call, oh, I can't remember how the words went, but you call, we will follow, we will do whatever you ask. The emphasis is on you now to respond to whatever he's telling you. It shook me, because when it came back later, God asked me to do a job I didn't want to do. I didn't know how to do this job. I wanted to get back to Africa. But Math said, no, we want you to be a speaker because God said so. Darn it, it's that word again. God said so. And I've been a speaker now for 15 years. All right, I've been back to Africa a couple of times. But if God calls, he'll tell you. by somebody somewhere or other, he'll tell you. Anyway, now I want to talk about math itself. So end of my little encouragement or kick in the butt, like, let's talk about math. Math, flying for life. It is, it's help, hope, and healing. It literally is what we do. A lot of people sort of say, do you want any pilot? Do you want any doctors, nurses? I've got a physio I'm talking to. She wants a job. I said, I can't give you a job. We carry them. They're working out there. Oh, I've got a clicker, haven't I? I just remembered. I was waiting for you to change the thing and I forgot. I got the clicker in back pocket. Right, let's see if it works. Uh-oh, didn't turn it on. No, I can do it, it just takes a long time to get used to these things. Well. Maybe you might have to do it. Have a fiddle. Have I lost a bit of it? Yeah, see? Techies, we can't live without them. There's just a few organisations who fly with us. Would you believe we've got 2,000 organisations that fly with us? Depending where they want to work is where we fly. Now, the things have changed since probably last time I was here. We brought in, we've closed a few enterprises because we're no longer needed, and opened up some new ones. There's a lot more happening in West Africa at the minute, which is really wonderful to have. The huge country of Brazil, we work with. They've taken it over themselves now. They're an independent mission flying planes alongside MAF. But one of the things I was trying to sort of get through to the kids a bit, in that picture there, the bottom right, is Becky. Becky I met years ago. She was doing a talks like we do. And but she was also flying for one of the agencies in Plymouth, building up her hours for MAF, but flying, doing news reports. And we've known her for a long time. I've realised how long. She spent a year or two building up her hours till she could apply to MAF, and then MAF said, yep, we accept you. You will be just the pilot we need. And trouble is, it takes a long time to get through all the big role and everything. By the time she got there, she said, I'm sorry, I have to admit, I'm pregnant. So, poor girl, there's God telling her, you are going to Chad. You know, very clear, you are going to Chad. And now she's got a baby, and MAF said, have the baby, get settled, you can come back later. So a year or so went by, and she came back to MAF with the baby. And sure enough, they said, yes, but Chad's a bit dodgy with a little baby. You might have to look at going to Madagascar first. 2 years in Madagascar, she's still thinking, I'm going to Chad. And she eventually got there. And then she was actually the chief pilot for a long time because there was nobody else there. You know, it was only sort of people who were less qualified. So she was in charge of so much of the work. But it's grown and grown over the years. And she sort of sent this one back of a little girl who'd been in an accident. Yes, Fatima, in a car accident. It was horrible, really nasty accident. And she got over. The little kiddie at the top is an interesting one. We have a lot of measles outbreaks in Africa, and measles kills thousands. We fly one consignment of, has to be sort of cold stored, measles vaccination, and we can put a stop to it just like that, but it has to be done. Hence, some of the trips we make not only affect one patient, but hundreds. But anyway, they got her to hospital, the same as the little boy I was talking about, and she's fine. But that's the sort of territory they're flying over. Now, I'm not prejudiced about little women flying planes over some areas, but I struggle when I thought of her flying a big plane over that sort of territory. If anything went wrong, you land in sand, nobody's going to find you for ages. You know, that's what that male thing going on in my head. How can you let a little lady do this? And most of the people in Chad had the same thing, because it's a very male-dominated society. And the men there, Muslim men, did not like taking orders from Becky when she said, well, you'll bring this much and you won't take any of this, and you'll do this and you'll do that. They didn't like it. They had to accept it. They wanted to fly. They needed to be places. So it was a good experience, but I'm sad to say that Becky's finally done her time there, and her kids are now aged to go to a bigger school, so she's moving on to Tanzania. She's not quitting. My speciality, because I've been there a couple of times now, is South Sudan. And I managed to put this map together because I'm really pleased with it. If you look at the big picture, there's a line across there. South Sudan, it's only that little bit. Then you look at the picture at the top and you see how small England is by comparison. And that is one huge country. And that's where previously South Sudan's had all the fighting. Now all the fighting's in the north. South Sudan has got refugee camps in Uganda, south of there, where people fled from the fighting in South Sudan. Oh, it does get complicated. But now we've got our people living in Uganda, and masses of people have come over from North Sudan, where there's really nasty fighting going on, into the area where I've marked out there with the yellow. And there's thousands and thousands. Did I put the number there? I don't know if I did. It's about 190,000 refugees moved into that area of South Sudan. And that area was already starving because they were short of, there had been lots of floods, believe it or not, had killed off all the crops. So 190,000 people came in with nothing to join the rest of them. And it's an absolute disaster going on there at the minute. And do you ever hear it on the news? No. There's another 50,000 moved into Chad, which is just as bad. But you just don't hear about it. But the Christians who lived in northern Sudan were fine until the fighting started. Then they got picked on, and most of these refugees are actually South Sudanese who fled one way and now fleeing back the other. And MAF is flying in and out very, very regularly now, bringing in supplies, bringing in little tiny sachets of food to try and save kiddies' lives. And pilot described one time he just arrived with the food, and a little kiddie died, just literally in front of him. And it is catastrophic up there. So I can't lay on hard enough. We have to sort of support them. Excuse me. That is just a fraction. I mean, 190,000. You know, how many churches like this could we fill? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches just to get 190,000 in. And just to go back to the rest of the work in South Sudan, you can see where Juba is right in the middle there, the blue dot. And these are some of the flights we take. So not every flight is individual to a particular place. It's just to show you the outline. The dots are dirt landing strips where we drop things off, drop people off and pick things up. But the big blue dot is Juba itself. So the flights south come right through the Uganda, right down to Entebbe area where we have our other depot. But we still fly and pick up people in other areas as well, from South Sudan. So the work has grown. When I was there in, well, was it 2016 and 2019, the guy in charge is still there now, he's James, the guy on the right there. He's looking older actually, so am I. He is a fantastic guy. He's one of your techie guys who's does basic stuff. He'll get out there and say how to fix the drains and taps and things. He'll show people how to do that. He's teaching the staff all the time. But he's also got involved with another guy of setting up tapes, little machines little handheld receivers that can take the gospel around to people. And you realise now that if you can take a handheld thing that you press a button and you can hear the word of God that way, you don't have to learn to read or write. You hear God's word without anybody saying anything to you because you've got it there. And it's wonderful just the impact that has around the country. But yeah, the last time I saw, he was fixing a cement mixer for a church that was being built. Here he's fixing somebody's old radio that's out of date. I don't know how these guys do it. They shouldn't fix anything. He is an Australian missionary. He will be there till he retires. He's a fantastic guy. I bowed to him when I was there. I was just there to help him. I think I was pathetic by comparison what he can do. Oh, he had me up a water tower one time. The tank was leaking up the top. We climbed up this tower. He said, take your time, and he just shinted up there. yeah, I'm a bit shaky. I got up the top, and we fixed the leak, and we all came down, and next morning there was a rather loud bang. And everybody said, what was that? the repair we'd done had actually made things worse. And this plastic tank had blown in half, and the tank, water and everything, straight down into a garden. Fortunately, there was nobody there. I did not help them fit the new one. But he's got a team of guys that work with him. Deng, the one who's swinging in the scaffold, when I was there, he was considered a pretty useless workman. He would not do anything he was told. He just liked to stand around and talk and do all the wrong things. I was trying to take the pressure off James. I was adding to it because I was getting cross with this guy because he wouldn't work. But actual fact, James has persevered, and Deng is swinging from the scaffold, enjoying putting up this massive hangar door. And there again, James is in charge of it. It came in a container, just a pile of metal bits. Stick this together, this is your hangar door. And they've done it, it works well. I just take my hat off to them every time I see what the latest thing is they've done. The hangar didn't even exist when in 2019. We have grown, we have got a lot more flights, a lot more planes. But a lot of the loads are really basic. There's timber, there's corrugated iron, there's anything to do building with, because you've got to make medical facilities or schools or whatever. They're very crude, very basic, but they give shelter and they allow the work to continue. Whatever people want transported, we will take, with a limit that they've told us in the first place. There's the medical evacuations that happen pretty well much on a daily basis. Not a lot of them per day, but at least one, maybe two a day from wherever we are. And sometimes, I was on a flight with one of the pilots and a call came through on the radio. Anybody near this particular area, could you go and pick up this person's had an accident? And I don't feel sorry or happy, but we didn't actually get the call because another pilot replied quicker than we did, and he went and did it. But it's always interesting what happens. But then you get a totally different one where you'll get plants like this. There's a load of plants came into our store. Could you deliver these up to, and this was now, the Peace Village. It was run by a Catholic bishop. He was the most godly man I've seen in so long time. You just see this, he's about that tall. And you see him and you can see God glowing out of his eyes. He was so on fire for the Lord and what he did. He'd set up an engineering workshop, a sewing workshop, various other different things, and gardening as well. And he'd order these plants because these are special mango plants that will grow fast and produce a lot of fruit and are resistance to so much disease. And there's boxes of this and boxes of that. We had one load, I don't think I've got the picture of it, no we did, in Chad, had a big load of boxes, filled the plane as much as they could get in without sort of overloading it. And that was 6,000 Bibles in a local language. Absolutely amazing. Then I move on to Liberia. This is a new one. This has been going since 2020, off and on starting because of the living accommodation. But Liberia is worse than any of the others. It's got absolutely no roads. And it's equatorial. They have quite a lot of rain. So you've either got that or you'll get just great big dust clouds. And people describe very long journeys to get from A to B. And you get worn out. You've absolutely no energy left to do the job you want to do if it's only a week's work. And this really helps. If flying them helps, they get there, they do the job, and they get away again without too much delay. Although, no, that is the one. It was Liberia. See, I'm getting all muddled up now. That's it. That's what 6,000 Bibles look like. Great, isn't it? And every one of those Bibles was welcomed by somebody who said, oh, thank you, God. You see ladies, tears streaming down their face. I've got the word of God. Does that happen in this country? Sadly not. Right, now I'm moving on fast. Timor-Leste. Anybody know what Timor-Leste is? Or Timor-East? East Timor? Any thoughts?
Near Indonesia.
Sorry?
Near Indonesia.
Not bad. It's just north of Australia. You're in the right sort of area. Yeah. Timor-Leste, we do a lot of work with there again. It's one of these islands. There are no roads because it's all hills and valleys. And we've been flying in and out of there and regularly for now. So the country's only been independent for 3 years, and they're struggling a bit, but they're loving having Matt there. So much so, they said, we've got another unusual request for you. What do you think about flying, instead of the usual stuff like you do down the roads for us in, or in place of roads, for us in our land, would you fly to another island? It's a little tiny island, it's not that far from us. So we started flying, and then they said, okay, we're going to push it one more step further. Would you fly tourists? And I'm thinking, okay, we've got to draw the line somewhere. Tourists, but no, MAF don't do tourists. Actually, we do. We said, yes, we gave it a try. And each tourist went to their island, spent about a couple of hundred quid on various bits and pieces, and went home. So that little village, all of a sudden, all this money coming from the tourists was helping them with their finances, which you can't object to. It's not a regular thing, but we do it whenever they ask. And it helps, because we will fly from that island, we will fly their goods they produce to the mainland, and they will get sold on, and they will get paid for what they've done. So we're helping in every way we can, whether it's medical, whether it's talking about the Bible and talking about Jesus, or whether it's just literally helping them to improve their way of living. So there's the little speakerphones. The word comes through hearing. Interesting, it says hearing. It doesn't say through a written word, but it says through hearing. And so many of these people hear it. They see the Jesus film. The film speaks. They're not used to sitting listening. They're not used to sort of learning in the way that we are. So they love to hear it. But you made a commitment to go wherever or do whatever. Now, I'm not asking you all to get up out of your seats and become pilots or whatever. But in your prayers, you can support MAF in a way that you really feel it when you're on the field. I know when we went out, a lot of people were praying for us, and you could physically feel the support and prayer affecting the work you do. And all of our guys are relying on the gifts of others or the prayers of others to keep going. So at the back, I've got cards. If you'll sign the form and receive really helpful information on a regular basis, so 1 month you'll get a briefing on all the work going on in South Sudan, if you like. Another one, you get Tanzania or something like that. For one, each mail shot they send you 4 a year, will tell you a lot more about that country and will make prayer far more effective than just vaguely, I pray for MAF. Okay, folks, thanks for listening to me. I'll let you get on with the rest of the service, because it's so good to be in God's house worshipping. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Robert, and for making the journey to speak to us today, and really inspiring. We've got another challenging song now, so maybe it's all challenged today. We're going to stand and sing, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. Be naught be all else, so nothing can be greater than serving the Lord Jesus. Challenging words.
Thank you. So as we bring this bread to you, Lord Jesus, we offer you the sap of life rising, the fun, relationships, communications of life. As we bring this wine to you, we offer to you the woes of life outpouring, the waning powers, disease, disappointments, and wounds. As grain is crushed to make flour, that becomes this bread, and as grapes are crushed to make the wine, so we offer to you all who are crushed by hunger, homelessness, violence, or abuse. God spilt his blood so that he could draw near to us after centuries of humanity spilling its blood to get to God. May you transform these elements of creation, dear Lord, and these elements of our lives. So let's pray. You, O Father, with your only Son and the Holy Spirit, are God. You are God, one and immortal, God, invisible and faithful, God, wonderful and worthy of praise, God, most high and magnificent. You are God, not in the singularity of one person, but in the Trinity of one essence. We believe in you, we bless you, we adore you, and we praise your name forevermore. We praise you through Christ, who is the salvation of the universe, through Christ, who is the life of human beings, through Christ, who is the resurrection of the dead. Merciful God, send now, in kindness, your Holy Spirit to settle on this bread and wine and imbue them with the fullness of Jesus. And let that same Spirit rest on us, converting us from the patterns of this passing world until we conform to the shape of the one whose food we now share. Amen. Paul the Apostle proclaimed in the Bible, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" So he whom the universe could not contain is present to us in this bread. Let's share this bread and feel the blessing of God.
of the time when I was first called whilst being here at chapel, attending what I thought was a kind of normal service, and then part of the challenge was in this last song that we're about to sing. So if you fear challenges, maybe mime the words or just look at the words, because they're very powerful. And as Robert said, we say these words, do we mean them or not? Where will they take us? So I, the Lord of sea and sky, I've heard my people cry. Yeah, thank you, Val. Yeah, it's really good.